today on Real Radio.
God says, come here, I want to shelter you under my wings. And they said, no, we're going to trade you in for a new God. And he says, well, okay, look what happens. You leave the umbrella, there's war in the gates. Look what it says there in verse 8. There's war in the gates. And here's the thing. They became so liberal that you couldn't find a shield or a spear to defend yourself out of 40,000 people in Israel. We have to have sword and spear control. That's what's wrong. It's those doggone swords. They just jump off the table and they go after people. No, they don't. It's the wicked heart behind those things.
You make me, you break me, you change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in the Old Testament book of Judges. This week we're in a mini-series that's taken from chapter 5. Chapter 5 is a song, the entire chapter. Deborah and Barak sing a song of praise because of Israel's deliverance from the Canaanites. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called, This is Why We Sing.
You guys, since we've been together last, I think people on the East Coast of America must have thought, in the Midwest, must have thought the world is coming to an end. They had their blossoms on their cherry trees, everything's blooming. And one of the worst winter storms in 10 years comes at springtime. And people have been killed. And everything stops. Even governments had to, they couldn't show up for work. 10 inches of snow in a matter of hours just outside New Jersey. Unbelievable. In springtime. God can just move his little finger and divert a nuclear missile or something, you know? It's, oh, look, we're going to get him. And they launch the... Listen, God rules from heaven. And you and I need to be reminded of that with all the lunacy that's going on in the world. Nothing escapes his eye. He sees what's happening. So this is why we sing, because the Lord is our defense, verse 20. That's what we're learning here. The verse here, verse 20, is about God being our defense. And he defends us from our past failures. The children of Israel, during the time of the judges, had repeatedly failed God in keeping his commandments and walking with him. They disobeyed God and they got in trouble. You guys remember that. We all of us have past failures. Maybe all of us have current failures. And it's for sure we will have future failures. But here's the key. Failures will come and go. As a believer, I'm to stay close to God and keep crying out to him through the midst of it all. That's why the scripture says in 1 John, if we say that we have no sin, then we call God a liar and his truth is not in us. Well, brother, I don't know about you, Jack, but I've ascended to that place of... I had someone tell me in that foyer about a year and a half ago that he was sinless. Here's the cool thing. His girlfriend was with them. And I realized in a split second, he's impossible to talk to. And I turned to her and I said, is he sinless? Well, that's all you need to hear, is a... If you think you're sinless, then you're calling God a liar. That same book, 1 John, goes on to say, but if we sin, we have Jesus Christ as our mediator, or as the one who says, as we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He defends us from our past failures. Listen to this. Exodus 34, verse 8 says, so Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. Then he said, if now I have found grace in your sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray, go among us, even though we are a stiff-necked people. And pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us as your inheritance. Listen to him. And he said, "Behold, I make a covenant. Before all your people, I will do marvelous, such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any other nation, and all the people among whom you are shall seek or see the work of the Lord." Listen to this. "For it is an awesome thing that I will do with you." Moses says, "God, will you forgive us and pardon our iniquities? And will you go with us?" Here's what he's saying. "God, mercy, 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 please. Mercy, grace too. Mercy, mercy, grace. Don't give us what we deserve. Give us what we don't deserve. Don't give us what we don't, right? Don't spank us. Bless us." That's what Moses was saying. And God says, "Now you listen here. I'm going to go with you guys. I'm going to forgive you. And I'm going to do things in your life that you would never believe. You won't believe it. It will be awesome things," God says. Think of this. If God said it to them, you guys remember the children of Israel? They were amazing. Have you not read the Exodus? They could get in trouble with themselves. There's a saying in Israel, if you have two Jews arguing about something, you'll have three or four opinions. They won't even agree with themselves. They're wonderful to talk to. You just don't know where they're coming from at any moment. Well, listen to this. God said to them, "I'm going to do an awesome thing in your life." He's not a respecter of persons, remember that? "Okay then, Lord, if you did that good thing for them, your chosen people, and if we as believers have been grafted into the body of Christ based upon your word, then we're going to ask you to do awesome things in our lives. God, do great things in our lives as people." In Judges chapter 5, verse 24, you can look at it there. There is the exalting of Jael and what she did. You guys, this is, Sisera's head is nailed to the ground. In fact, in the Hebrew, this is what happened. And I hope there's no little, is there little ears in here? Should be in the children's ministry. This is what happened. In the Hebrew, the original text, this is what happened. He came into the tent. He says, "Hide me." He's hidden. There's a blanket over him. Drank his milk, sucking his thumb. This is Israel's worst enemy. This is the guy. He's the general of a nasty, nasty invading army. So he's underneath his blanket. Falls asleep. The Hebrew, she takes the stake and the hammer, and she drives his head there into his head, and he gets up. Yeah. He gets up and realizes, like, "Man, I've got a headache. Splitting. I feel like I got a nail right here. Kind of here and out here. Right across here." And then falls down at her feet. And then she nails him to the earth. That's radical. There is no way that a woman of this stature could overthrow a man, a general warrior of this magnitude. This guy is bad beyond bad. But God was in this. It's an awesome thing that God wants to do with us. If, listen, in Philippians 3, verse 13, we put this to heart. "Brethren," Paul said, "I do not count myself to have apprehended." That is, I do not count myself as Paul the Apostle that I've finished what God gave me to do just yet. "But one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind me and reaching forward to the things that are ahead of me, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." That is an awesome Christian walk. God defends us against our past. "Oh, I failed 9 times and I'm going to try it one more time." Hey, this could be the time. "Oh, I don't know, I failed 9 times. Is God leading you to do it? Then do it. Maybe in those 9 defeats, God was in that. Building character. Perseverance. To continue at it. Stay at it. Reach forward. Will I ever grow in Christ? Will I ever be used by the Lord? Oh, yes. For it is an awesome thing that I will do to you. What about Daniel 11, verse 32? It says, but the people who know their God shall carry out great exploits. Do you know God? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Do you know God? Yes, yes, I do. Okay, then listen. If you know God, then you are to carry out great exploits. I don't know what that means, by the way. You're to find out what that is for your life. Mine will be different than yours. Yours different than your neighbor's. What is it you and I should be saying as believers in an act of worship? Lord, what is it in this song I sing? God, in my life, bring me to that place of fulfilling exploits for your glory. I don't know what that is. I'm not to know what that is for your life. I'm to know what it is for my life. You are to know what it is for your life. For it is an awesome thing that I will do to you, God says. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his poema, poem, his workmanship, his craftsmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. What an amazing thing. Church, that literally means that God has established a custom-made, built ministry for you, and you are either doing that thing or he's waiting for you to step into that thing. And as a believer in worship, you are to be saying, Lord, what is that thing that you're to have me walk in? Every believer needs to ask themselves that question. What is it, God, that I'm to be doing in this life, in this world? Now look, if you're a believer tonight, you're asking yourself that question right now in your head. If you are not a believer tonight, you're saying, what's the next point? When are you going to end? Let's get out of here. This is very serious. Because, listen, our act of worship is not just singing. You guys, without Deborah and Barak yielding to the Lord and this whole thing coming about, they would have had nothing to sing about. Oh, was God able? Oh, yes, absolutely. Did he not have the power? Certainly. Was not God desiring to bring about a victory? Surely. But listen, he calls us to follow him. Can you imagine living this life and coming to the end? And that's another thing. When is the end? Is tonight the end for me? Is tonight the end for you? We don't know. So what are we to do? Live every moment as though it's the end. So we get up in the morning. Lord, before my feet hit the ground, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me your power. May I be a good witness for you today. And Lord, you lead and guide my life as you dictate. Not as I dictate. Not as anyone else dictates, God. As you lead. In Jesus' name, amen. Then put your feet on the floor and go. And don't look back. Because if you do that, then you can lay your head down that night, tonight. And you can say, Lord, I just want to live my life to bring you glory and honor. If I sinned, if I misrepresented you, Father, please forgive me now. Do I need to go back to anybody that I offended today, that I made a wrong impression, wrong witness? God, speak to me. Believe me, Christian, if you ask God to show you any wrong that you've done, he will show you that in about 10 seconds. You know, Pastor, I've been praying for an hour, asking God to cleanse me and purge me of all my evil. And I had, you know, I covered those, you know, first 10 minutes, those things were over. I'm not hearing anymore from the Lord about how rotten, filthy I am. Then get up and go. God is very able to speak to you and I about what's between him and I, what's between you and him, very, very easily. And so you go in boldness. And that boldness is walking in what God has created for you. Listen to this. Ephesians 3:14. For this reason, Paul said, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Man, that's awesome. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, that's a lot of riches, to be strengthened with might through the Holy Spirit, his Spirit, in the inner man. That's the spirit of who you are. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend, listen to this, with all the saints. That's here and with those above. I don't get that, but that's, how does that happen? What is the width, the length, the depth, the height? To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him, listen to this. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Paul said, amen. That is plump with promise and power and defense. He's so good to us. We sing because the Lord is our defense. Look at verse 20 again. He defends us from our enemies. This is powerful. It says here that in verse 20 as they sing this, but my goodness, look back just a little bit at verse 8. This is that the heavens fought and warred and they were victorious, but look at verse 8. You guys, this really saddens my heart. He defends us from our enemies. Look at this. How many things do you and I suffer that are self-imposed? Look what Israel did to themselves. They chose new gods. This is back in verse 8 of chapter 5. They chose new gods. Then there was war in the gates. Church, look at this. Not a shield or spear was seen among 40,000 in Israel. What is that verse? It's one thing to have enemies. We all have enemies. It's a horrible thing when that doesn't have to be like that, when we wind up being our worst enemy. You know what they did? Look at that first statement there. They chose new gods. Who did? The children of Israel chose new gods. Do you remember when they're going in the Exodus? God's leading them. Can you imagine all that incredible presence of God? Look, He was so visible to them that the children of Israel said, man, this is scary. It's scary. Moses, talk to Him over there. We're freaking out here. The mountain shakes. The ground trembles. We see lightning flashing forth. He led them. What did they do? Moses goes up to the mountain. He's fellowshipping with God. And somebody got in their mind, you know what? We need to worship other gods. Doesn't that sound incredibly stupid? How long has it been? It's been 40 days. 40 days. I don't know about you guys, but my discipleship training can only take me at about 40 days. I got to go back to these Egyptian gods. Can somebody bring some gold here? We'll melt it down and make a calf, a little golden calf. And we'll just hold it up and say, look at the God that led us out of Egypt. And they all, I like J. Vernon McGee says, and they all bowed down, all the people left the living God and bowed down to Egypt's bull. I thought that was great. When you're J. Vernon McGee, you can say things like that. They're all bowing down saying, this is the cow. This is the bull that brought us up. Look at it. And they're holding this little cow. In fact, it's his gods. They made multiple cows, bulls. And you know, a lot of these bulls have been found. You know, they're actually housed in museums. Egyptian bulls found in the wilderness of the Sinai. Actually found. There's some bulls in Israel, enshrined in museums. And by the way, they were little things. They were not big, you know, like the Wall Street bull, that big bull. These are little things. And they had more than one. We've got bull. Yes, we do. We've got bull. How about you? We've got bull. Yes, we do. They had many bulls. Here a bull, there a bull. But they chose new gods. Look at this. They departed from the Lord, verse 8 tells us. They chose new gods. Then there was war in the gates. Do you get that? Wow. Are you saying that there's a connection? There can be. Not always, but there can be. Boy, it's a frightening thing when war comes to your turf. To your land. That's an attack. You got to stop and ask the question, why? Why is the attack coming? What have we done? If an attack comes, what have we done? That's a natural. Look, before political correctness was birthed from the pit of hell, people used to naturally think, why has this come to us? Now you can't. Now you're not allowed to think like that because you might have a negative thought. God says, "You listen, you walk away from me and you're out. You're away from the umbrella, kids. Listen, you walk with an umbrella on a hot day or a rainy day, you're not going to get burnt and you're not going to get wet. But when you walk away from the umbrella, good luck, because luck's all you got. Think about it. This week we saw some little chicks with the mother hen. How sweet is that? And it was really hot where we were at, and the mother opens up her wings like this, and the little chicks come in, and she creates this perfect little umbrella. Of course, she's, you know, hot and all burning up like that from the heat. But, you know, they have found chickens in barnyard fires. Did you hear about? You've seen this. You've seen this in history or on nature channels, where mother hens have burned to death in barn fires. And the little chicks, she's burned to a crisp, and underneath her wings are the little chicks still alive. A mother hen will do that. God says, come here, I want to shelter you under my wings. And we're all running around, I don't need your wings. I'm fine over here. I'm doing my own thing. You're going to get burned. God, listen, God says, you'll be safe. Stay with me. And they said, no, we're going to trade you in for a new God. We want new gods. That's what we want. And he says, well, okay, look what happens. You leave the umbrella, there's war in the gates. Look what it says there in verse 8. There's war in the gates. And here's the thing. They became so liberal in their thinking that you couldn't find a shield or a spear to defend yourself out of 40,000 people in Israel. We have to have sword and spear control. That's what's wrong. It's those doggone swords. They just jump off the table and they go after people. No, they don't. It's the wicked heart behind those things. It's the wicked mind. And they gave up on God. And they said, we're going to follow other gods. And you know, you may say, well, that's kind of harsh, isn't it? No, you need to learn and study who those other gods were that Israel went after. They were incredibly violent and vile gods. Horrible gods. And Israel invited them in. You know what? When you're a worshiper, you can't waste time about worrying about those kinds of things. When you're worshiping the Lord and building altars, wherever you go, as we mentioned last time, you're not going to get involved chasing other little ding-dong silly gods. There's nothing in it for you.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called This Is Why We Sing. It's actually a mini-series we're presenting this week, taken from the book of Judges, chapter 5, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, last month, we wrapped up Pastor Jack's examination of the New Testament letter from Paul to the Ephesians. Now, whether you'd like to hear it again or you missed any part of it, here's the good news. We've taken the entire series and placed it all on one MP3 CD. Our offer? For your gift to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount, we'll send you Pastor Jack's series in Ephesians. Whether you call, click, or write, be sure and indicate the Ephesians Study Series on MP3 CD. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can send in your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.